Smiling Faces the Podcast is a Defiantly Me production. To learn more, visit them on Instagram at Defiantly Me Productions. Friend to the show, friend to the pod, friend to life, Brick Jackson, is in last week's episode of the studio, and he was logging in to my Apple TV so he could get a really good copy of his time on the show. But I didn't know he was logging in. So when I got a notification saying, "Hey, are you logging into your Apple TV?" I was like,
"No."
You
kicked his ass out. Yeah, you kicked his ass out. You were like, no. Not on my watch. I basically matumbo'd him.
He didn't know that you guys weren't friends anymore.
Welcome back to episode 24 of Smiling Faces the Podcast. I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano, and we are executive producers of Smiling Faces, our hit show about two girls who discovered their date in the same guy while working at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations about dating, heartbreak, revenge, and living your best life.
Do you feel like some days I'm not living my best life? However, because I need to be living my best life, okay, we're going to take these step A, step B, step C that leads to the best life, even though on the inside, not the best life.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the old adage of dress well to feel better. You know, if you're outwardly presenting like things are awesome, then you'll kind of feel a little bit. Or, you know, when you do the Superwoman or the Wonder Woman arm pose.
Oh, the power pose? Yeah.
Yeah, then that kind of does something. I try to do those a few times. Didn't quite take today. Yeah, like every now and then I'll be like, let me just hit a little Wonder Woman, see what's given, what that does for me. You know what? It didn't take today, but you know what it did? My coworker made two bundt cakes, and one of them was a vegan bundt cake, and it was so good. So that did it.
Your coworker made you a vegan bundt cake just for you?
Well, I mean, she did it. It's only like me and one other person that are vegan in the office, but she had talked about how she was making a pound cake, bundt cake thing. And so in my head, I was like, oh, well, I'm definitely not going to be able to have any. And she came in with two boxes and I was like, what is this? And she went, oh, I made a vegan one too. And I went, girl, you have my whole heart.
Thank you. Yeah, so I feel like we're like work soulmates, and I've never made you a vegan bundt cake before. Just saying.
Right? It's like, you're coming in strong. This is her second week in the office. I'm like, you're kind of killing it.
It's her second week in the office, and she broke. I love her. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, speaking of cakes, like, I would send Mike on a cake run for a vegan cake for you.
That's beautiful. And Mike would hate every second of it, and we would document the whole thing.
No thanks. I'm gonna DoorDash the thing. I'm not going anywhere.
Yes.
There we go. Mike, he's like, knows. I'm not an assistant now. I'm not a PA. I'm a producer now. And
that's what? Right.
It's big brain moves. Big brain moves.
It is. That's big how you brain get there. Moves. That is, yeah. Mike has a sordid past with fetching cakes. And if you don't know that story, go on back and listen to the first couple episodes that we've got.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I feel like a yes always works for a transition moment.
You are the awkwardest segwayer.
I do. They don't make any sense whatsoever. I'm like, surely a sound effect works. I'm my own soundboard for this show. Just good. So speaking of that.
You don't need a soundboard either. Yeah, we don't need any of those things. See?
Mike's like, please stop it.
Please.
Done. Okay.
I'll have to mute her.
Wow. Yeah. That's going to be a tough episode.
Listen, it is. Mike, we are over here taking the steps we need to take to live our best life. Today, this morning, I woke up, was not living my best life. So I got up, I went and got my favorite coffee, even though I was like, don't love this life today. I went and got my car washed. I vacuumed it out with every ounce of energy I had left in my soul. What did I do after that? Oh, I filled her up with some gas. I got my hair done. I got my teeth cleaned. I was like, let's go. Let's go. Oh, yeah. just like
I put on a one-stop shop of maintenance today, huh? Yeah. What'd you do? Drive through a car wash and be like, yes, for me and my car. Jesus.
Yes. Stick my teeth out the window.
Wow. Could you imagine the toxic soap? Oh. Although there is one that smells like bubble gum, but still, you should not. Yeah. I know which one does that. But yeah.
This podcast, we don't recommend sticking your head out of the car during a car wash.
No, that's how you get decapitated.
Correct. But I will say this, we do recommend listening in and getting some hot tips from us on production. And I think it's about time that we start talking about what we're up to as far as pre-production goes for shooting Smiling Faces.
Indeed. I would say the big update besides the rewrites that I'm always working on as of late is something important to know if you have a fiscal sponsor, that when tax time rolls around, you have to give them a full report of all the money you've accrued while you're with them and all the receipts and showing proof of how you spent said money. So I'm in the financial tunnel. Of pulling receipts and showing financial reports to show them this is the money we've made while we're partnered with you. And here's how it's been spent. Tell the government.
Here you go. I mean, first and foremost, those of you who don't know what a fiscal sponsor is, Victoria, did we work on this one together? Either way.
This, I don't recall. But yeah, it's an app. You have to apply for sure. It's not just like.
Yeah.
You don't just sign up to get one.
Yeah. There are companies out there. There are nonprofit organizations that love supporting all types of groups and all types of movies and films and television shows and content. And we are under the umbrella of one of these spectacular nonprofit groups. Ours is called Inclusivity Media. And if you're sitting here thinking, I want to know what that is. I want to know more about how to get under a nonprofit umbrella. I can tell you there's some really great reasons to work underneath that umbrella of a nonprofit, including anytime anyone wants to contribute to your project, it's tax deductible.
Yes, very smart. If you are an independent filmmaker, that's probably one of the best ways to get money and get it from corporations as well. So not only is it tax deductible for your friends and family, but if corporations have matching contribution plans for their employees, or if there's corporations that say they don't give money unless it's for nonprofit reasons, then any kind of charitable contributions that are given to your project on behalf of kind of through the funnel, I would say, of your fiscal sponsor are then tax deductible to that corporation. So for an indie filmmaker or showrunner or whatever, it's a really great avenue. It can be a rigorous process. I think we applied for quite a few different places just to see, along with grants, and Inclusivity Media came through. They've been amazing. Yeah. But they do require a lot of information before they approve you. So it's a pretty rigorous process of giving them, you know, information on the project you're working on, the script. You have to give them a detailed production plan of what you want to do, your marketing plan, what you plan to do for distribution, who's a part of the team.
Budget.
You need like a director's note. We had to make a budget.
Yep. The director's note. It was a whole, yeah. Basically it's a grant proposal. And there's a lot of people out there who are probably thinking, I don't know how to write a grant proposal. But when you are reaching out to these nonprofit organizations, and by the way, there's one for everybody. I've helped another production put together their grant proposal to a company out here in California. I think it's in Encino, actually. And that particular proposal, if you're thinking, oh gosh, you know, it's just like, I'm not a Black woman. I am not telling, you know, diverse stories. I'm not being multicultural or doing documentaries. You don't have to. Sometimes there's just organizations out there that are supporting new filmmakers. So if you're trying to pull some money together, if you have a project, if you have an idea, you want to pull some money together, do a little Googling or a ChatGPT. She's been living in ChatGPT all week long. I've been over here just throwing myself at. Yes.
I just know ChatGPT is sick of us. I just know it.
Oh, really? Do you think? I don't know. I love her. I love her but so.
But always say please and thank you to your ChatGPT for when they eventually gain autonomy and get moved into a physical vessel. You want to be like kind of that Dane Cook sketch or that joke where he talks about the office worker getting upset and going to shoot up the building. But because he always gave that guy a piece of candy every day, how the guy would get to his office and go, thanks for the candy. And would skip his office.
Yeah, you should definitely do that for our robot overlords.
Yeah, say please and thank you.
Treat them nice.
Yes. No matter how much I want to rail against quoting any Dane Cook comedy bit on this podcast, I do stand by that. I actually read something earlier today. This girl had put a funny post up on the socials that said that she got this crush on this guy. So every time that she saw him, she would have his favorite candy in her pocket and she'd hand it to him. And then she stopped doing it, but he would still see her and light up every time he saw her. And then she was like, what do you call that? There's some sort of like mind fuckery going on there. Isn't that like
Pavlov's? It's a little Pavlovian, isn't it? Yes,
exactly.
Just tricked that man with a piece of candy?
That's how simple men are.
Like, that is wild. Every time I see her, I think of blow pops. Like, that's crazy.
Not blow pops, ma'am.
It could be a thing. I don't know.
We know Victoria's favorite thing.
Remember those black cherry blow pops? This is completely not what we're talking about. But
cherry ones.
You talked about blow pops. The black cherry blow pops were fire back in the day. They banged hard.
Were they like deep purple, almost black?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm seeing her. Okay.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Watermelon. It's only watermelon for me or nothing.
Oh, I hate watermelon flavored stuff.
Oh, that's
diabolical that you like that watermelon and candy flavor. That's crazy.
You know what, though? I have to tell you, it's kind of an amazing thing that we're talking about here. So I think it's pretty obvious. I'm having a really bad day. Victoria, you kind of gave energy towards not great day energy.
Oh, no, I'm tired. Yeah. But, you know, we out here.
Yeah, that's your status quo, though. That's like your norm. I feel like you guys are. I told Lucy that you two are white knuckling life right now, and I was like, I gotta get them focused sometimes.
Yeah, no, it's bad. I'll tell you guys too. I might take a little midweek. I'll be back for like tapings and stuff. I might take a midweek to Atlanta just to take a break, man. Yeah, I need it.
That's what I wanted to talk about today because, you know, we're making this incredible project. We gave you the hot tips and I'm telling you, this is your hot tip. Get under a nonprofit umbrella. And honestly, if you have questions about how to do that, please slide into the DMs. I certainly could use that kind of question over whoever else is sliding into my DMs these days. Please, please slide in my DMs and ask me how to, you know, get into a nonprofit situation for your film. I'd be thrilled to help with that.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, here's the fun thing. I would prefer those DMs instead of who's sliding into my DMs. Let's talk nonprofit. But here's the thing. Ooh. I really enjoy you saying that. Like, I might take a midweek, flight home to Atlanta, just kind of unplug. As you know, like, we had several vacations over the past couple of weeks. Mike went out to Maryland. Victoria was, where'd you go?
Palm Springs for a wedding.
Right.
So, I mean, it was good. But yeah.
Listen, and side note, that dress was a fire.
Thank you. My breasts barely stayed in it.
I saw that. I was like, she's one strong wind away from a nipple popping out.
Oh, no. They were covered by tape. And I had one really, really great gay man, Evan, who would just like slide it back in when it slipped out.
Yeah. Nice. Evan.
We all need a gay man to watch our nipples. We all need that.
Yeah, always.
Anytime I dance too hard, he would just reach in and put it back in. And he goes, I know my job for the night. I was like, thank you, King.
Oh, God. Yeah. What a beautiful man. And thank you to all the gays who recognize their position.
Yeah.
on earth of watching for those costume moments of just, it's tough because we want to show you so much that you want to see. Yeah, I love sharing all of this with the world. And also it's like, keep it.
Yeah, but honestly, PG. Booby tape kept me on point.
That's a hero. Yep.
Yeah. Booby I didn't tape. Know you needed special ointment to remove it, though. So that was tough.
No.
Yeah, and in the removal, coconut I just basically got in the shower and slowly just aggressively rubbed like nice circles to get it off. But it goes, for removal, make sure to have your booby tape removal product. I went, my what? Wait, it was too late. I was already in Palm Springs.
Coconut oil should do the trick also.
I was in Palm Springs. I guess I could have gone to a grocery store, but I was like, what am I to do?
You were already in the shower.
I was. I'd made peace with it. I was like, I'm just going to wet this tape and just aggressively scrub my boobs until it comes off.
Beautiful.
And it did after a while.
Great. Perfect. Yeah. Although maybe we're spending a week. Is this too much breast talk?
Nah.
I mean, I did say nipples. I started this talk, actually.
Like, yeah. Who started this?
This is actually Mike's fault. Do I know limits? No.
You don't.
Listen. Unfiltered. That is the top. That is the theme of this podcast. Unfiltered.
Yeah.
I'll say that up one side and down the other. So on that topic, we're talking, how you like to be treated on the worst days. Give that person in the office who's kind of a moody broad a piece of candy every day, or use it to lure your crush in. They won't even know why. Go
there's
get
like
your
something
your,
about them just seems right. And cherry.
Yeah. it's great. I think it's easy to find out like what somebody's favorite candy is too. That's an easy thing.
I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like people are willing to share that pretty easily.
What's yours?
Oh my God. So there's two, but they're both in the Twizzler family. One is cherry pull and peel, and the other is the filled ones. They have like a cherry punch and a citrus burst. So good. And you like nibble along the side of each one and then you merge them together. So the gooiness of each flavor goes together. So you got a sweet cherry and a tart citrus and you do like one and like bite it all together. It's so good.
Not you doing science experiments with your licorice sticks.
It's serious. Yeah. What are y'all's?
Chocolate. Anything chocolate. Chocolate and peanut butter. Yeah. Chocolate and peanut butter. Like I will. Yeah. Or a Whopper. Like if you just want to be like
a Whopper. Chocolate.
I do love Whoppers. Me and that other guy.
I was going to say, like, I think I threw those in the garbage when I was a child, when I got those for Halloween. I'd like dunk them into the trash can.
Love a Whopper.
Like NBA Jam, dunk them into the trash can.
Love them. I love them so. Wow. Mike, what's your faves?
I'm not a huge candy guy. So typically it's like food. So, and of course the one thing that makes me feel better is Lido's pizza, but I did freeze two half baked ones, brought them across the country. And then Lucy bought me a Lido's cup so I can drink out of my Lido's cup. That makes me feel better. So
there we go.
There's something about going back to the place where you were like grew up in, raised, the people know you deeply there. So there's a comfortability there. And it was great to go home and do all of those things when I was in Maryland. So I'm all for you going to Georgia. Go ahead. Get in there.
Yeah.
Dip your toe in. Right. Yeah. And then after a while you're like, I know why I moved to LA. It's time to leave.
It does that. It's so crazy. Every time I go home, I kind of get reinvigorated to this is why you moved there. Go back and get the things. So yeah. It'll help. Yeah. I know it'll help.
Every time I go home, the first time that I encounter racism or homophobia, which I always forget because we are in Los Angeles, and granted, there's a lot of racism in Los Angeles for sure, but
there's
I'm shocked.
So many.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would call it maybe a little bit worse than out there in the world. Maybe not so blatant, but still very heavy-handed and widespread. There's 13 million people in Los Angeles. There's also 13 million people in the entire state of Michigan. Not to forget, there's an upper peninsula to Michigan. So when you think about that, it's a lot more spread out. The homophobia is shocking to me when I leave Los Angeles, because out here, you know, it's love is love is love is love is love. And for us, love is love is love is love is love. So I'm always astounded when I encounter that outside of the city, any cities, you know. I come from a very small, small rural town, so I'm not over here pointing fingers at small cities, because I think that overall, we're all a lot better off than we were 20, 25 years ago. And still, oftentimes surprised to see the homophobia when I leave, and then I get back here and I'm like, oh, thank God.
And I was like, let me go back, as Morgan Wallen would say, let me go to a drag show and get back to God's country.
Yeah,
isn't that what he said? Isn't that where he went? Because that's my God's country.
That's right. I have to say, that is a drag show, something I do to cheer myself up on my worst days, for sure.
Just to go see like raw Never talent been. And camp. Oh, Mike, I Never know what I know our team first outing is.
Yes. I'm about it's to so say. Much We're taking fun. Mike to brunch. We're taking Mike the drag queen brunch.
You guys got really excited.
Yes. Oh, the amount of talent and camp and humor, like they infuse humor with their performance so seamlessly. Oh, it's such a blast. Yeah. And you have to. I'm so excited for you.
The names, the costumes, the passion, the giant boots filled with mimosa. Oh, come on.
It's so good. Yeah.
We're going to Hamburger Mary's.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're taking
guys. We'll go to brunch. Even the queens get drunk midway through. I think the last time I went, the queen like leaned over my table and goes, bitch, I'm so drunk. Like, it was great.
They usually do two shows. If you do a drag queen brunch, they do two shows. That is, I have to say, I feel like that's the last time I went to a drag queen brunch was my last time doing day drinking, I believe. And because it's just, I mean, that's it. That's your day. And then it's the day and a half, you know?
Because then you got like, a buzz and you can't be productive after that. It's go back home and watch, I don't know, Housewives or something that makes you smile, because you're not going to be a contributor to society after drag brunch at 11. No. You're buzzed by 3 p.m. What are you going to do?
Well, and you got to stay ahead of it too, because you don't want to be buzzed and then ride that buzz and then it starts to taper off and then it's still early enough that then the hangover begins. No, you need to be sleeping in time for the hangover. So you just got to keep drinking. You got to keep drinking until like 6 or 7. Then you go to bed at 8 o'clock and then you wake up the next morning. You've gotten a little ahead of the hangover.
Yeah, I'd be remiss if we didn't also mention a meal should happen somewhere in there to help.
Sure. Yeah, pizza, Lido's pizza, Chinese.
There we go.
Thai food. Yeah, something you can get delivered that will still be warm when it comes to your house.
Yes.
Yeah, warm and greasy.
Okay, can I pivot really fast back to production-y talk super quick?
Always, please. Yeah, because we're a little bit back and forth on that today, but I'm good with it. Let's go.
This is great talk. Yeah, this is awesome talk right here.
Perfect. Yeah, I was like, all the things. More so because I'm not going to talk about the actual movie itself, because if you haven't, go see Sinners. It's incredible.
Yeah,
so more good. So good.
Like, more so because one, literally studio film original story that Ryan Coogler did. But what I'm obsessed with is how everyone's up in arms about his back-end deal he did. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about how it's so ridiculous. And everyone's like, he's going to bankrupt and ruin the studio system and all this kind of stuff. No. And one, I don't think so. But secondly, he's literally getting a deal that other high-end creators have gotten. But I think everyone's freaking out just because truly a black director hasn't gotten this before. But he is basically all about ownership, because it's a lot of the themes in his movie anyway. But his deal was that one, he gets final cut, which director, but even though the studio usually gets like final, so he gets final cut on it. He gets first dollar gross. So he receives his share of the film's box office revenue from the first dollars earned on the movie, not after it becomes profitable and then gets his money. So he did that. And then he gets the rights of the film reversed back to him after 25 years.
25
what?
Years.
What? Yeah, after 25 years, he gets the rights back from the studio.
Okay, Ryan Coogler, that's how you negotiate a deal.
Right. I was like, oh, that's incredible. But then, so this guy that I know, who's in the industry kind of talked about it. And he did a whole breakdown of how every step that Ryan Coogler made to go towards getting a deal like this is kind of the perfect blueprint of doing it if you're an independent filmmaker. Like, his first film out the gate was Fruitvale Station.
Independent.
It was
made for $900,000. Yeah, it was made for $900,000, gross $17
million. Right?
What?
Yes.
Man knows how to make a movie. I didn't know it grossed that much.
Yes. So that was his first one out the gate. And then because he could show that he could do, you know, like a film that was highly lauded and well acted, all these kind of things. Then he took a defunct franchise, Creed, that no one had really, or like Rocky, no one had really been talking about that anymore. He adapted that and turned that into Creed. Creed became crazy successful. So he did a franchise, quote unquote, after doing an indie darling film, built up that franchise and did those three. So then he showed he could do marketability and a franchise film. And that's how, yeah.
What's crazy is he didn't even direct the last two. The second one, he picked an independent director for the sec for Creed 2. I'm obsessed with Creed
2. I didn't know
Creed,
that.
I'm obsessed with Rocky because it's all Philadelphia. Like, it's Philly. Like, I'm obsessed with that story. And then my favorite character is Apollo Creed. So when Creed came out, I was obsessed. So he didn't even direct the second or the third one. He picked an independent director for the second one. And then Michael B. Jordan directed the third one.
Yes.
I didn't know Michael B. Jordan is out there directing. Oh, my gosh. I feel like I've been under a rock. Dang. Yeah.
I think that was his directorial debut, wasn't it?
It was,
Creed 3? Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah.
It was great.
It was really good. Oh. Yeah. So then, he did that.
Tomorrow.
See, there we go. So then he did that. And then he did Black Panther, which then he showed he could do big, big budget studio superhero film. So he got the trust of literally everyone. Critics. He showed marketability. He showed he could handle franchises. He showed he could handle big budgets. He showed all the things. So at that point, it became a bidding war of who was going to take Sinners. And it actually was a bidding war. People kept saying, like, even the... one of the head of productions at Warner Brothers even said, no, this isn't going to, you know, break the studio system. We were happy to give him this deal. It was a bidding war for this movie.
Yes.
Because if you look at all of his films on Rotten Tomatoes, none of them gross. None of them hit under 80%.
Dang.
It's like 85% or higher. Not that I hate Rotten Tomatoes, but... The fact that his films are lauded that much and they stay above that percentage with like the masses, it's kind of a no-brainer to give him the deal, actually.
Right.
You're going to win. You're going to win. Yes. Here's the thing. What I'm hearing is we fangirl hard over Ryan Coogler. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes. Hard. Okay. Hard.
I learned this so long ago, since we're pivoting back to production. I'll drop another hot tip. When you see somebody making wild success like that, look at his path. He chose an area that he wanted to create in and said, let me show you what I can do here. And then chose another area, marketability, directing, keeping it budget friendly. He chose an area. He ran with it. He said, see what we did over here. Now watch what I do with this. Watch what I do with this. Watch what I do with this. I mean,
it was so strategic. It was perfect.
Follow that path. And that's how I ended up making production and making production. That's how I ended up making content, short films, making short films and features and television shows. There is a woman who I watched her path and how she built her career as a director. She directed, I don't know if I can say her name, so I won't, but I'll say she's a New Mexico director who directed 100 short films. And in those 100 short films, some were great, some were not, some were festival darlings, some never went anywhere. But because of her body of work in horror films, because they were all short horror films, she got a deal with Verizon. And Verizon, they gave her $1 million and said, now we want you to make a vertical platform television show. I think it was 12 or 15 episodes. Off you go.
Brilliant.
And she did. I think and she made a bunch of money.
See, like, unfortunately, I guess, but you do have to prove what all you're capable of before they give you a bigger budget, a bigger thing to play with. Because, of course, they're not dumb. I mean, we always talk about, everyone talk about how studios are risk averse and stuff, but to an extent, they're risk averse for a reason, for some factors, you know, like you don't want to be blowing money on crazy things and people that are just on their word saying, I can do this. You need to see a track record of what they're capable of doing. So it makes sense. And then you get the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah. And because you have to keep in mind, every single production has anywhere from 100 to 250 people working on it. Those are mouths to feed, families to support. When COVID shut everybody down and I was working at the studio system, the number one priority was getting thousands of people back to work because we had to. People were going to go hungry. And even now, like as we're still trying to build this industry back up from the blows it's taken, COVID and the strikes and all of the studio system's shenanigans.
And also needing to reform the tax incentives so we're more competitive. There's so many things. There's a lot of help that the industry needs right now. And also just how expensive everything is currently.
Yeah. Everybody's just trying to keep their jobs. So even though I don't want to sit here and say kind things and empathize with the studio system, the truth is there's a lot of people's livelihoods at stake.
On the line for their decisions. Yeah.
Yeah, including a studio exec who has to make sure that their job doesn't get gobbled up by somebody, you know, and they get ousted as well. And right now, because of tariff increases and changes in politics and changes in industries, a lot of companies are downsizing. A lot of people are being laid off. And I think everybody's trying to cut really, really lean to prepare for some kind of recession. We're not going to get too deep into the politics of it. However, it's something to take into consideration because streaming services are still needing to keep subscribers coming in. And how do you do that? More content, but what kind of content? Because young people are not watching television.
They're not. I think, I wish I had this stat, but there was a conversation where mostly was it younger millennial and Gen Zs find that traditional TV and streaming is actually more outdated now. And they do tend to go to vertical content, like you were saying, or something on their phone instead of what's actually on streaming on TV in theaters. Like it's not their interest.
It's YouTube. Everyone's watching YouTube. And I tell you what, I was watching another video this morning about this girl who was joking around about all the men in her life constantly wanting to show her YouTube videos. It is so true. Every man I know is like, let me show you. Look at this funny YouTube video. It's like the way we connect now, even if it's something that was on Saturday Night Live, which is a television show, people would prefer to go to YouTube, watch that clip on YouTube, show all their friends on YouTube. We're on YouTube, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's more sometimes digestible for people. You're not sitting through one commercials. Also, YouTube is free unless you do YouTube TV, you know? I think everyone's being more conscious of the dollars that they're spending now for everything. Yeah. So to try and compete with one, the 50-11 shows that are out, because I know sometimes it feels like there's nothing on TV. There's actually still a good amount of stuff on TV. I'm a bit overwhelmed. So trying to watch everything that's out there and then have enough content where it's interesting enough for you to say, I'm going to commit to $16.99 a month to stay with this platform, to always watch what they have coming. That's got to be stressful to be constantly thinking of something good for people to watch.
The irony, I think, also is that YouTube is like $75 a month.
And that's why I don't have her. Because who do you think you are?
Yeah, but you don't need to have her because how many dudes are asking you to watch their YouTube with them?
Not a lot. I dated one guy. Oh, man. I think Castaway liked to play YouTube when we would hang out together, but it was more so just so we could have.
Way.
Yeah, same. he'll play like music all the time and just share songs he liked. And he liked to actually watch music videos. So that was a doozy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he had YouTube TV because it was fiscally responsible for him too. It was for what he wanted, you know? That was the only thing he had. He didn't have Netflix and Hulu and stuff, which boggled my mind. Because I'm like, what do you mean?
You have to have Hulu because it comes with a Spotify subscription. That's what I don't.
Wait,
I love
what?
My Spotify. Oh, yeah.
I can bundle? Damn it.
I think it's like Disney Plus, Hulu, Spotify. Oh.
Oh, what?
Yeah, girl. Why are you not bundling out there?
Oh, my God. I'm paying separately like an idiot. Oh, my God.
You got to get in on this. You got
to
check it
out. Cancel the podcast.
Yeah.
I have to go fix this. Cut the feed.
I have to tell you, it's either that or you got to start dating somebody who's going to start sharing passwords.
Yeah, I'm the big pimp. I'm giving all the passwords out to people, even to the point where break. Oh, so the studio. Excellent show, by the way, if you want to get into having a little bit of empathy for the studio head, to be honest. But friend to the show, friend to the pod, friend to life, Brick Jackson is in last week's episode of the studio, and he was logging in to my Apple TV so he could get a really good copy of his time on the show. But I didn't know he was logging in. So when I got a notification saying, hey, are you logging into your Apple TV? I was like,
you
no.
Kicked his ass out. Yeah, you kicked his ass out. You were like, no. Not on my watch.
I basically
Matumbo'd
him.
He didn't know that you guys weren't friends anymore.
I was like, hey. And I texted him. I went, were you just trying to log into my Apple TV? He was like, yeah. I went, warn me. I just rejected you.
I love that you rejected him. And then you texted him and were like, was this you?
I didn't want to be wrong. Unless
I'm
stranger.
That makes me happy.
I worked very hard to get my information off the dark web and off brokerage things because I got like hacked or something. So I've been paying for a service to remove me from everything. So I was like, not again.
You know what? I have to say, Brick is a hero. We love Brick on the show here. Hi, Brick. We know you're listening. We know you love us.
Yeah.
And if you aren't listening, we'll know because you won't text us and tell us how much you love us.
Exactly. That'll be the tell.
Say it back. Say it back, Brick.
In your car right now. Say it.
He's like screaming it on the 405.
Exactly.
Well, that makes me think of my favorite segment, which is our smiling faces moment. Yes. I want to know what's happened to you guys this week that you have grinned and bared it through.
Yeah. So for me, I've had to talk about, we've talked about it before on the show. I had to talk about the money tree in the office again.
Oh no.
It's doing great, by the way, but I had to be asked again. Oh yeah. Do you know, she's getting there. She's coming back to life. What have you been doing? Have you been watering it every day? And through gritted teeth, I went, no, because remember, this happened because I overwatered it. So watering it every day would be bad. So I'm back on the normal weekly schedule. I was like, I can't talk about this plant anymore. I will lay down in the middle of the 405. I can't do it. Please.
Not death.
Yeah.
Not death.
I will seppuku myself before I have to talk about this stupid plant again with them.
Jeez.
I
love it so much. And if you don't know what happened, Victoria had a smiling faces moment a few weeks ago where the owner of said plant in this office was devastated to see that it was struggling a little from overwatering.
Go back and listen. Don't tell them.
You're right.
Go back and listen.
Yeah.
Go do the work.
Earn the story.
If you want to be looped in on everything that's happening here on Smiling Faces, you need to be listening to them episodes. Don't loop them in.
Yeah.
Wait, Victoria, can you sneak us a picture of the money tree?
I will. I absolutely will.
I would love to see the money tree. Yeah.
Yeah,
please,
I definitely will.
We're dying to. I think everybody wants to see the money tree.
They
Mike,
do.
What
They've
about
seen
you?
The journey.
What are you grinning and bearing through this week?
I mean, mine's not very eventful. It's just catching up. I was gone for 2 weeks, essentially. So catching up on everything, feeling a little overwhelmed today. And I just told Lucy, I was like, I'm feeling overwhelmed. There's a lot that I'm trying to, I got a lot of balls in the air. Like there's like the podcast and I have other podcasts and then we have the show. Like there's just a lot. So feeling a little overwhelmed today. So I'm feeling much better now. But this morning I was like, what the hell? What the hell?
So much.
Oh, no.
And it's okay, fam. We know Mike has other podcasts and we also know who his favorite is.
Ew. So it's like, we're not jealous. It's fine.
I'm not even gonna listen. I love all my children equally.
You,
of course you love them all equally.
You have to say that. We get it.
Wink.
Yeah. Jess, your smiling face is mehumant.
Oh, this is something I've grinned and bared through. You know what? The sad thing is, I don't think I could say that I grinned and bared it through, but I definitely got dumped last night. It was devastating. I'm grinning now, which is nice. I mean, thank you for releasing me back into the wild. I told you, I woke up this morning, I got some coffee, I got my car washed, I put a pink sweater on, I got my hair done. We're working, we're compensating hard. This is make a full body grinning and bearing it through. Met somebody who I thought was great, and sadly discovered they have terrible taste because they didn't want all this.
Agreed.
That's all right. You know what? I'm available. Come on, get me boys.
There we go.
And not I the feel solicitation like at the end.
I'm immediately. You know, if I feel like this. Oh, I was going to hit you with a bring it on quote. That's all right. That's okay. No, you're going to pump our gas someday. This is where healing begins.
This is the beginning. If you love the way we heal, which is through gritted teeth, then please find us on social media. You can. Oh, no. Wait. Full stop.
I got it, coach. No. Tag me. What?
What show? Where can they see you? You're performing, Victoria. When can they see you here in Los Angeles?
Oh, my God. You are so right.
She not even trying to be seen. She's like, whatever. I'm trying to be an actress, but nobody can see me. She's like not John Cena. You can't see me.
You can't see. She's like getting her phone. She's like, I know all of my dates.
Yeah.
Victoria is an incredible performer, everyone. And she does improv the first Saturday at the Broadwater Theater here in the city of Los Angeles at 7 p.m. on
May 3rd. And I'm also performing in a musical improv show called, oh no.
Did you just blue screen?
Oh, it's called The Parlor. There we go. The Parlor. Yes. There we go. I'm performing with them Cinco de Mayo. So May 5th that evening at, oh, I'm killing this.
Say 7 p.m. Say 7 p.m.
It's probably 7 or 7:30. Yeah. Go to Instagram and I'll post some.
Stop it. You failed this so bad. It's fine. Listen, if you love Instagram and you just dying to find out what time Victoria's show is on Cinco de Mayo, you can find us on Instagram at smilingfaces_series. You can find us on TikTok at smilingfaces_series. We're on Facebook for all of you elder millennials at Smiling Faces Series, no underscore. And we have a YouTube channel. Please find us at www.youtube.com/@SmilingFacesSeries.
We also have an official website. It's smilingfacesseries.com. Shout out to our fiscal sponsor, Inclusivity Media, and to our producer, Mike Bryant and Defiantly Me Productions.
Oh yeah. Okay, we can stop now. You guys are off the rails. We've been off for a week and you guys are off the rails.
Missed us. Thanks, y'all. Bye.
Bye.